So Ibn Atal al-Iskandar Abdali, from his Hikam, the first one that we are going to do in this night series, is that from amongst the sun, that from amongst the signs that you will attain your objective at the end is that you are turned towards Allah Ta'ala in the beginning. So if you want a sign, what's the sign that you will attain whatever you're doing, you will attain the objective at the end, is that you have ruju ilallah in the beginning, that you turn towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in the beginning. That person who will have more mujahada in the beginning will have more mushahada at the end. That person who has ruju illallah in the ibtida, they will get their maqsood in the intiha. And the soundness of your end will be determined by the soundness of your beginning. As good as you start something will be as good as you conclude it. So if in the best way to begin something is to begin with Rajulullah, to be turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everything happens due to the mercy of Allah ta'ala. So whatever objective we're seeking, whatever work we're doing, whatever effort we're trying, all of that, none of it will be successful until we get the mercy of Allah ta'ala. The mercy of Allah ta'ala will come at the end if from the beginning and throughout the process we are turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person may have to make effort in 1 kilogram, but they have to make du'as at the level of 1 ton. And whatever they get will be based on that. And Allah Ta'ala says in Quran that, know that Allah Ta'ala is between a person and their heart. So when it's everything will be determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should turn toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the outset. Even this, and also when we look at it from suluk, we're talking about zikr. So Allah Ta'ala, even our ability to sit in zikr is because you gave us tawfiq. Since you gave us tawfiq, we ask that you kabul it as well. One poet said that, who are we that we think that we do anything? Actually, whatever has happened, happened because of your blessing, Allah Ta'ala, and whatever will be only because you will it to be, O Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala, I'm sitting in zikr out of your karam, I'm trying out of your karam, I will also only succeed out of your karam. So the more and more a person turns towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, trusts in Allah Ta'ala, calls upon Allah Ta'ala, this is a sign that they will be successful in ultimately obtaining their objective and end. So from amongst the signs of the successful attainment of the objective at the end is our turning to Allah Ta'ala in the beginning. And if a person's beginning, if they begin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then their end can never be with anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will get the wasl, they will get closeness, drawn near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who is always live a lot of hunger for food, they will have an insatiable appetite. They will never get full. Why? Because they always feel hungry. They eat, but they still want more. Same thing about husband and wife relation. So a person who has a certain feeling, it can reach a state that they feel that they're unsated. They never are sated. And that person who does not place any of their needs and hopes with Ghairullah, then they will never be mahroom. And that person who asks from help from Ghairullah, then Allah Ta'ala will put them in a state of shame. Because why are you turning to Ghair? Why are you turning to someone other than Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? And we should note and remember that that love which is based on the nafs, simply speaking, if anybody falls in love due to physical lustful attraction, then Allah Ta'ala will always bring separation between these two. You can see it all around you. This is, we have seen this for years. If ever a person establishes a relation on the basis of pure lust, they will never ever actually get their objective. They will always be separated. Allah Ta'ala will separate that lover and their beloved. That you made it on the basis of your nafs, I will separate you. You will never be successful in that lustful quest. So they get together secretly to fulfill their nafs, but then they, Allah Ta'ala separates them. And even if people get married after having lustful relationship, after they get married, they no longer get interested in each other. And that's why in those Western countries where the whole basis of relationship is lust, they have 85% divorce rate. Why? Because that relationship that begins in lust will never remain in union, but will always end in separation. And the purpose of saluk is a person should do the zikr of Allah Ta'ala with so much abundance that their heart is no longer attached to creation. This is why Allah Ta'ala said that make zikr of the name of your Rabb Allah wa tabattalayhi tabdeela so exclusively to the exclusion of everything else. So the name of our Rabb is Allah. So the purpose is to make the zikr of the name Allah so much so that you get what is called tabattul, that you become completely disconnected from creation and your heart is severed from creation. And this is the essence of the kalima la ilaha illallah. And that cut yourself entirely from creation and connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disconnect from creation and connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then reconnect with creation out of the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the name of Allah ta'ala. So what does it mean that any relationship we have with any creation has to be in the name of Allah ta'ala for the sake of Allah ta'ala, lillah, fillah. So first step is disconnect and cut off entirely from creation, then connect entirely to the Creator, and then reconnect with creation out of nisbat and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are some sins that a person does that holds that person down. Just like if a person has some ropes that are tying them. So even if they want to fly, they won't be able to fly. And our mashayikh have said that this Urdu word in Urdu, dushman, this actually has letters that has explained each and every one of those enemies of ours that are holding us down. It means the first enemy that we have is from the Arabic letter dal, which is dunya. So dunya, the attractions of the dunya, the lush pastures of the dunya. Sayyidina Rasulullah said that the dunya is sweet and verdant, it's green pasture. It's attracting. It's lush. It's sweet and lush. And that's what everybody loves to see, a lush green scenery. They get attracted to it. So that's what the Prophet ﷺ meant, that a person is so attracted towards the dunya that they can, their heart never gets full of it. They always want more. More and more and more. And that someone said that a person's will never be able to fill themselves up with dunya. The only thing that will be able to fill them up is the soil in the grave. So this dunya traps a person, snares a person. How? By making them have long hopes, long planning. That okay, I'm busy planning my factory. Once the factory gets set up, then I'll come to the masjid. Now once it's set up, then once I'm busy in expansion, once it's expanded, then I'll come to the masjid. Once it's expanded, then okay, I want to do one branch, I want to get another branch. I have one store, I want a second store. I'm operating in one country, I want to expand and operate in different countries. Very long-term plannings that have no limit, that have no end. So when a person has such long planning, then dunya keeps the person ensnared all the time working for the dunya. So this is how the dunya is our enemy. First it comes in the heart that I want to become member of parliament. Then when we become member of parliament, I think, no, now I want to become a minister. Then it comes, no, I want to become prime minister. There's no limit to whatever desire anybody has. So if a person becomes prime minister, then they say, I want to remain prime minister. I want to be re-elected, always be prime minister. So there's no limit. So the dunya becomes an enemy because it keeps us in long planning. And in that long planning, then a person gives up the preparation for the hereafter because they're always preparing for their long-term worldly plans. So the first enemy that we have is the dunya. And this sparkle and shine of the dunya keeps a person attracted and allured. And they want more and more. And I want to gather and collect and amass the dunya. Is that able to collect the dunya? And then death overtakes them. So the first enemy of ours is the dunya. That's why whenever, ever since Allah Ta'ala made the dunya, never once has Allah Ta'ala glanced at the dunya with love. Because the dunya is what makes people ghafil from Allah Ta'ala, distracts people from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has filled it up with all types of pleasures that a person gets distracted in the pleasures of the world. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah gave a beautiful example. He said once there was a person, he was going and there was he heard the roar of the lion behind him, and he looked back and he said, yes, there's a lion who is chasing me. So he didn't know, there was no tree that he could climb. He saw a well, so he jumped inside the well. When he jumped in the well and he looked down, there was a snake in the bottom of the well. So now he couldn't land in the well. So then he thought that, okay, what I will do is there's some grass on the inner wall of the well. I will grab onto the grass and just hang there for some time. So now up there the lion came, the lion is waiting for him, on the bottom the snake is waiting for him to fall, and he's hanging on to the grass, weeds, like a rope. Then he sees that while I'm hanging on, I see two mice, one black and one white. And they come and they start chewing the grass that I'm grabbing onto. Now he's thinking that they're chewing it so it'll break. So then he looked left and he looked right. And then he saw a hive of honey. And there were no bees there, it was just pure honey. So then it occurred to him that, okay, why don't I try and taste this honey? So then he let go with one hand of the grass, and he started tucking the honey, and he started tasting the honey. and it was very tasty honey. So he started enjoying the pleasure of the honey. So then he just kept tasting the honey over and over again. Now he forgot the lion. Now he forgot the snake. Now he forgot that the two mice are eating, the chewing away at his ropes. He was just enjoying the honey. The Imam Zaynuddin says that, "Oh person, this is exactly your situation. Death is coming after you like the lion. And azab-e-qabr is waiting for you like the snake. And you are grabbing on to the frail life that you have, which is the grass, and night and day are passing, that is the black and the white mice, and as every night and day passes, it's bringing you towards your end. And the dunya is your honey, and you're just busy enjoying the honey and not realizing anything else." So a person gets so involved in the pursuit of pleasure that they have no other concept of life, no realization. So because a person is thinking long term, they forget their death. And when they forget their death, they forget to prepare for what's going to happen after death. So the first enemy was the dunya. The second dunya second enemy comes from the second letter, sheen, which is shaitan. He is our accursed enemy. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran that indeed shaitan is an enemy to you. You should take him and treat him and view him as an enemy. You should regard him as an enemy. And shaitan wants that I was kicked out of the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, so I want that these humans should also lose the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So he is seeking to steal our iman. All the time, this is his real objective, that this person do some sin, due to that sin is so devastating on them, they lose their iman. He can never be the well-wisher of any human being. Always he wants the worst to happen to us. So this is another thing, that he can see us and we can't see him. So young man thinks that if I was ever to see shaitan, I would beat him up. But I can't see him, I don't know where he is. Now second, shaitan doesn't need to eat or drink, he doesn't need to take a rest, he has no break, he has no needs. He's 24/7 working against us. And he's all the time with everyone, trying to make us go astray. Then he has many traps and tricks at his disposal. It's not like he has just one trap. In hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW said that when a non-mahram woman leaves her home uncovered properly, 70 shaitan accompany her. And each one has traps. And what do? They put ideas of sin in the minds of people, whispering. And they present sinful acts as very attractive and alluring, as beneficial. Oh, you are so good. Once a person saw a dream that they will see something good about themselves, and they will think that, oh, I saw the Prophet in the dream, and they're even willing to miss their prayers. So that person who misses their prayer, and in the dream they see some good thing, if they think that, okay, I'm going to make it into Jannah, they become their own murid. They're murid of their own nafs. And they tell everyone, oh, I saw in the dream, and they don't even pray. So your reality is what you are in your wakeful state. So shaitan actually deceives us, he tricks us. He has many different ways he tricks and deceives people. Because shaitan is our enemy, and we should be very careful and safeguard ourselves against him. And we should beg Allah Ta'ala for help. Shaykh Ashraf Ali Thanrahmatullah, he said that once, if a person goes to visit a friend, and sometimes you will find there's a dog on the path, and he doesn't let the person go to the house of the friend. So there are two possibilities. One is that the person sees the dog and gives up and turns back, If he turns back, then he will never get to meet his friend. Or the second is he tries to fight with the dog, and then also that may not work out. And there's a third way, that he should tell the friend that, "Oh friend, can you please tell your guard dog to back off?" And if he calls the guard dog, and you see that when the owner calls the dog, then the dog will go away. So he said, just like that, shaitan is like the dog. And the path that is leading us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is a dog on that path. We cannot fight him. We have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg that Allah ta'ala gives the command that we be protected from shaitan. That's why Rabia Basri, she used to make a beautiful dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, "Oh Allah, just the way that you have prevented the sky from falling the earth, in a similar manner prevent shaitan from having any effect on me. And, oh Allah, the same manner in which you have prevented the sky from falling to the earth, prevent shaitan from having any effect upon me." So Allah Ta'ala granted her dua. So that's why when shaitan, he took an oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "I'm going to lead the humanity astray, and you will find that they will be ungrateful to you." So Allah Ta'ala then responds to him that, "No, that indeed my ibad, my creatures, you will have no warrant, no authority, no power over them. If they are my ibad, they are my sincere worshipful servants." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing in Quran that he's going to protect his ibad from shaitan. And if we don't have Allah Ta'ala's help, then whatever sins are in between their hand, in front of them, that evil companion will make their sins look attractive towards them. And then the person will end up amongst the khasirin, the ultimate losers. So shaitan will never ever give up with a person, and he will never be happy if a person is doing iman and good deeds. He will never accept it. Hazrat Ulama Ibrahim Ta'ala, in his last years in life, his grandson, Muhammad Shakur, started reciting Yasin, Surah Yasin. Then Islam said that, "I've seen shaitan, and he, in order to make him go away, I asked you to recite Surah Yasin." So can you imagine, such great awliyaullah, shaitan is trying up to the last minute before they die to try to trick them. Then there was a good big muhaddith, and his student, when he was passing away, his students were reciting kalima la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, and Shaykh just started saying la, la. So they understand that he's just saying just the first word, la. So then they asked him that, "We are reciting the entire kalima and you are just saying la." And he said, "Yes, that's because at that time shaitan came in front of me and he was saying that, 'Oh Ahmad bin Hanbal, you, mashallah, have been able to safeguard your iman.' And I said, 'La, not yet.' That, 'Oh shaitan, that I, until my last breath doesn't leave, then I will not be successful. I'm not safe from your tricks. So I want to make sure I have iman till the very last breath that I take.' So shaitan is our enemy, and therefore we should be very careful and precautious from him. So the first enemy is dunya, and the second enemy is shaitan. The third enemy is from the letter meem, which is makhluk. Makhluk means creation. And what do we mean by creation? We mean lustful, romantic, love, unlawful love for creation. And all of these romantic, lustful loves, they will all make us distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should remember that who ever gets stuck in unlawful relations will also speak lies. He will say one lie, then he will have to cover up that lie, he will have to say another dozen lies. Then to hide up those lies, he will have to say another dozen lies. Always concealing himself. Then he will even sometimes swear falsely. Once a person said, Shaykh, that I used to live a life of sin, and people start finding out. So my father, he called me, and he was getting angry with me that you are lewd and you are illicit, and I denied it, and then he told me to swear, and I swore, I lied, and now he was crying, and he said that now I make tawbah, and I realize that I did such a big sin. And even just to save myself from the scolding of my father, I took a false oath on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person said this oath that, oh my father, I swear to you I don't have relation with that girl. If I have relation with that girl, let me die without kalima. But actually he did have relation with that girl, so he took such a big oath falsely to cover up his sin of unlawful lustful love. So the first enemy of ours was the dunya, and the second enemy of ours was shaitan, and the third enemy of ours is makhluk, and the fourth enemy of ours is nafs, our own nafs. This is also rebellious and is an enemy towards us. Bayezid Bustami Rahmatullah said that once I saw the spontaneous dream, and I asked, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to be close to you. So Allah ta'ala said that leave your nafs and simply come. Once you leave your nafs, then simply come. Means you will get close to Allah ta'ala simply by leaving your nafs. But to leave our nafs and do islah of our nafs, to break the unlawful passions and desires of our nafs, this is a big step and condition to get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at us, look at our lives, we love our nafs. Whatever our nafs wants, we follow it. So how we are pleasure seekers. So how will we ever do islah of our nafs? When we are actually nurturing our nafs, and our nafs is trying to push us into the fire of Jahannam. So even our nafs is our enemy, and this is the big enemy that we have. Shaitan is a lesser enemy, and nafs is the greater enemy. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He was talking about the plotting of shaitan, Allah ta'ala said that indeed the plotting of shaitan is weak, is flimsy. But when Allah ta'ala was mentioning the nafs, so when He talked about the nafs of the women at the time of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, that oh women, indeed your kaid, your plotting and scheming is azim, is tremendous. So shaitan's planning is called zaif, and the planning and plotting of the human nafs is called azim. And remember that if until the nafs listens to shaitan, shaitan can have no effect on us. Nafs is like shaitan's double agent inside of us, and the nafs is the one that makes us follow shaitan. So that's why we must make sure that we view our nafs as our enemy, especially when our nafs wants to try to make us do something against Sharia. So shaitan is our enemy and nafs is our enemy, but they both have different objectives. We should always remember this, that the objective of the nafs is different and the objective of shaitan is different. The objective of the nafs is to get pleasure. Whether it's, if you give it lawful pleasure, it will be happy. Otherwise, it will go for the unlawful pleasure. It just wants its pleasures. So shaitan's purpose is, the purpose of the nafs is lazat. But shaitan's purpose is different altogether. He doesn't want pleasure. He only puts a human being in pleasure because he wants to deprive us of iman. He has a different objective. So the nafs, objective of the nafs is pleasure seeking. And the objective of shaitan is iman depriving. So if we don't accept shaitan, then Shaitan will present a different idea to us, a different sin. So Shaitan sends wasawas, and the nafs also has stirrings. How can we tell the difference between whether this sinful thought is coming from Shaitan or whether it's coming from nafs? So it's simply this, that if we get an idea, inclination, attraction, temptation towards a sin, but alhamdulillah we subdue that and we ignore it, if we get an attraction later for a different sin, then again we subdue it, then we get a different sin. So if we keep getting thoughts of different sins, that means this is Shaitan, that he's trying to tempt us to one sin, we resist, then he presents another sin to us, then we resist, then he presents a third type of sin to us. But the nafs is different. The nafs is like a stubborn child. It wants whatever single one thing it wants. So if you find that you keep getting attracted to the same sin, and then you try to ignore it, then again the same sin you're tempted to, again you ignore it, then again the same sin, that's a proof that is coming from shit, from the nafs. So these are the four enemies: dunya, shaitan, makhluk, and nafs. If a person can unleash themselves from these four ropes and shackles, then they will be flying towards the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at us, we are chained in all four of them. So if we want to fly towards the closeness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to unchain ourselves. That Allah ta'ala, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can do this. He can take the love for dunya out of our heart. He can protect us from shaitan. He can take unlawful, lustful attraction for creation from us, and he can protect us from our nafs. He can change our nafs into nafs mutmainna. So to escape from these four, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and help. Once that happens, then we get rujoo in Allah. If even we are stuck in one of these four, then we will not be able to get the closest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we have to make effort. That effort is called mujahada, that we have to strive really hard and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the depth of our heart, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save me from these four enemies of mine. So Ibn Ta'ala, Rahimullah Ta'ala, said that if you want to have the sign that you will attain your objective, the sign of that is that in the beginning of your journey, you turn toward Allah Ta'ala sincerely and completely. And that person whose beginning has nur, ashraqat, is illuminated, then their ending will also be illuminated. And the more mujahada you do, the more mushahada you will have. The more striving and struggle and hard work and effort you do, the more you will perceive and witness and realize the closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will see the same thing with the building, that if you were walking by a construction site and if you saw a very heavy foundation and big pillars being built, you would understand that that construction that begins with a big foundation and big pillars is going to end with a tall building. So the same way is in Suluk, that that person who however kamal your fana is, that is how kamal your baka will be. Whose urud, however kamal someone's urud will be, that person's nuzul will be that kamal. So in our silsilah Naqshbandiya, in the beginning, our mashayikh taught us to do the asbaq of lataif. Then whoever does as much effort as they can on the zikr of Allah on their lataif, later, when they reach the asbaq of fikr of hayat wahdani, which is their holistic self, alam amr and alam khalq, all of the lataif combined into one holistic self, all of the kamalat and nubuwwat, kamalat and risalat, all of them, all of that faiz comes on the lataif. But if a person has a weak lataif, then how can you construct a tall building on weak foundations? So that's why a person should make a lot of effort on their lataif, so that later when they progress, they get more, the lataif can absorb the faiz better. So that person whose beginning is good, that person's ending will be good as well. One Sheikh used to say, that person who begins their journey towards Allah Ta'ala by taking a tariqah, a path, then they will end by realizing the haqiqah, the reality. And that person who increases their striving and their effort, then they will become close to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Sheikh Abdul Rahman Mazoob was a Sheikh of the Shazli Salsala. He said that don't underestimate the importance of the beginning, because you see that person who undergoes difficulty and strives hard in the beginning in their search for haq, for truth and reality, and then they will turn away and avert from creation, and they will become busy and engaged in the worship of their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will forget all of the worldly pleasures and enjoyments. Then you should know that this end of this person will be very illuminated, will be very bright. They will have a very bright, illuminated ending if they begin with such effort. So we should remove every single hope from our heart, from all of creation. Hajj Mazur Rabtai had this poem that, O Allah, all of my desires for creation have left my heart. Now, Allah Ta'ala, I want you to enter my heart. And we should make the heart so empty of everything other than Allah Ta'ala, so that it gets filled up with the love for Allah Ta'ala. So one Shaykh, him and his friend used to do a lot of ibadah, because they had heard that that person does ibadah and Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of risk for that person. So Allah Ta'ala said in Quran that if only the people of the village had iman and had taqwa, Allah Ta'ala said we would open up for them the gates of barakah. So because of this, they were doing a lot of ibadah. And when we met one another, we would say, oh, we have a lot of hope that Allah Ta'ala will send us risk. Then we would think, okay, now this month we will get a lot of risk. And every time we would meet, every Friday, every month, we spent so much time doing ibadah and we were waiting for that risk to come. And one day, we encountered a Mazoob. And the Mazoob, he saw us and he said that these people are so strange, that they're doing so much ibadah for this reason, that they want to get risk. And they think that it will happen this month, it will happen that month. But the door didn't open of risk. So they asked the Mazoob, and the Mazoob said, because your object of worship isn't Allah Ta'ala, you're worshipping the dunya. If the only reason you're worshipping is for this reason, that you get risk. So you didn't, it wasn't sincere worship. So then we said we made tawbah from this niyyah, and we decided that we will only worship for the sake of Allah's pleasure alone. The second we made that niyyah, that Allah Ta'ala also sent abundant risk on it. So by being gharaz, we get the gharaz. By abandoning any ulterior motive and objective, Allah Ta'ala will grant us everything. So we should remove every wish and desire from our heart. That I don't want praise, I don't want fame, I don't want wealth, I don't want any of these things of the world. That Allah Ta'ala, I just want your raza, your pleasure. So when a person becomes the seeker of the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then everything becomes easy for them. Shaykh Ahmad Zaruq Ramtah used to say that person who begins with their turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their ending will be wasal, that they will get closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ending outcomes are based on the beginnings. That's why our mashayikhs say that in our silsila that we have incorporated the ending in the beginning. And you'll be able to tell the end destination of a path by looking at its beginning. So the more mujahada a person makes in the beginning, the more mushahada they'll get the end. Look at Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. He did mujahada for 40 days at Kohitur. He kept fasting for 40 days. So Allah Ta'ala's mentioned his 40 days. So that person who spent khalwa for 40 days, then he became a Nabi. And Sayyidina Rasulullah, he spent 3 years in Ghar Hira, going daily. Allah Ta'ala gave him even higher maqam. So Sayyidina Rasulullah used to go for 1 week at a time to Ghar Hira. He would take 1 week worth of food and supplies and live there for 1 week. He became the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the sign of the true lovers of Allah Ta'ala, that their heart is never attached to anything in this world. So all of those murids who are on the asbaq of lataif, they should make a lot of effort in muraqabah on the lataif. They shouldn't think that, oh, we're not able to do anything, we're just shaykhs, du'as will take care of everything. You shouldn't think like that. That shaykh will just take care of everything through his tawajjuh. No, you have to make your own effort. And if somebody says, I do 5-7 minutes of muraqabah, so don't you see that the first grade student, if he only goes to school for 5-7 minutes a day, he'll fail first grade. You can't even do first grade in just 5-7 minutes a day. Why do you think you can pass the first grade of the tasawwuf in just 5-7 minutes a day? You'll have to spend hours. How many hours did you spend in college? How many hours did you spend in university? How many years did you spend? And then have exam, they spend the whole night awake studying. They study so much. So if you want to pass the exam of wilaya, you will also have to be up at nights and spend a lot of time. Hazrat Babuji Abdullah Abdullah Sheikh Salamata asked him that, Hazrat, that how did you get this rank with Allah Ta'ala that He accepts all of your du'as? So how did it begin? So he said that when I was a young man, I used to recite so much durood, salawat on the Prophet, so much that sometimes my mother would have to reheat my food because I was so busy. I just kept reciting the durood sharif. Today, even people who are on saluk say, I don't regularly recite 100 times. How few are they who can say that they recite durood 100 times regularly? As we said, that we saw our own father, he used to recite the retrieve 10,000 times a day. And he used the seeds. And sometimes when I was on vacation from school on a day off, he would ask me to count the seeds. And when I counted them, they would be 10,000. Every day, my father used to recite the retrieve 10,000 times a day. And my father was not a hafiz, but he used to recite Quran so fluidly that he could recite half a para, half a juz, even faster than a hafiz. And my whole life I saw him, he finished Quran every 7 days. His whole life, whether it was travel, home, happiness, sadness, he would read 1/7 of the Quran every day. So these were the way that our elders were in terms of the daily routine. How many salaks today read 1 juz a day? They say, we're not able to read it. So if a person in the beginning doesn't make the effort, so how will they have a great outcome and end? However much sugar you put, that's how sweet it will become. So your heart should be so attached to muraqabah that you're able to sit in muraqabah for hours. Our first Sheikh, Hazrat Sayyid Zabar Hussain Shah Ramdhani, used to say that a salik should sit and do all their sleeping even in Merkabah. They should never even lie down and sleep. That at night, when they sleep at night, they should, why do you lie down and sleep? And just sit down and do Merkabah, and sleep will overcome you, and sleep all night sitting. That's how much effort they put in every to lie down and sleep. I will tell you some of the Mujahidat of our Mashaykh. Normally people look at the elder age of the awliya, but we have to look when they were young. What were the efforts that they put and how they became awliya? Don't you see, when a person's old, they get pension. Without working, they get pension. So when they're old, don't see how much zikr they do. When they're old, they're getting from Allah Ta'ala. You have to see when they were young how much zikr they did. Bayezid Bustami said that for 12 years I spent in the jungle worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I was hammering my nafs with the blows of shame. So 12 years I used to worship Allah ta'ala all night, and I would hammer my nafs that you are nothing, you are nothing, you are nothing. For 12 years he did mujahada, and he says that after that, then 5 years, I made zikr, and then I polished it like a person polishes a glass mirror. And then after 17 years of this effort, I noticed I still had some ujub, and I was fond in myself, so then I put another 5 years just to erase this ujub and kibr, the fact that I was fond of myself. Such that 22 years passed, and after 22 years I viewed myself as nothing. And then I read my own janazah. In my nafs, I read the janazah of my nafs. So somebody asked, what do you mean that you found yourself enough to be dead? He said, after 22 years, I was doing everything according to sunnah. So that meant I had no personality of my own. My entire personality was on the sunnah. Khwaja Abul Hasan Kharkali Ramtani used to say that in the beginning, I spent 40 years in this path that I never ever lay down to sleep. All the time I would sit and sleep. Not 1 year. 40 years I spent on the path such that I never even lay down to sleep. I've never stretched my legs. I would just sit, and whatever drowsiness I would have while sitting, that would be my sleep. And for 40 years I never used a pillow. Because when you're going to sleep sitting, neither will you stretch your legs nor will you use a pillow. I'm amazed that a person spent 40 years like this. And then he said that with the wudu with which I prayed Isha, for 40 years I prayed Fajr with the same wudu. Means that I was doing all night worship. So that for 12 years, I left my home at night at Isha, and I would travel 12 miles and do Muraqabah at the grave of Bayezid Bustami Ramtani. Then I would walk 12 miles back, and I was the Imam of Fajr at my masjid. And for 12 years, nobody ever even knew that I made this journey. That what do I do all night long? So to walk 24 kilometers and do Muraqabah, and to do it in such a way that to hide it from everyone, that no one knows that this is my ma'mood. So there's some phrases of Khwaja Abul Hasan Kharkali Naftali which are very strange, that moved me to tears. He said that, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. And look, that Hazrat Khwaja Abul Hasan Kharkali is making Allah Ta'ala witness to his statement. And this is a very big thing, to begin with Allah Ta'ala and claim that Allah Ta'ala knows. So Hazrat Khwaja Mustafa says, "Oh Allah, you know that in my 70 years of my life I've spent, that in my heart there's been no love for anyone other than you. Yet, oh Allah, you know that I have been alive for 70 years and all this time in my heart I had no love for anyone, any other than you." These are the real elders, the Salaf Salihin. The 70 years they spent purely in the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a Sheikh of our Sons, Hazrat Khwaja Yusuf Hamdani Abdali. He is that Sheikh who was an alim of tafsir and hadith, and he used to say, that I know tafsir, hadith, and fiqh, 700 volumes of them, I know them, 700 abwab I've memorized of tafsir, hadith, and fiqh. And 1,000 times I have read the Quran. Now imagine that if we were to try really hard, maybe we could finish the Quran a few times a year. Because an average person will only finish it once a month, once a year, twice a year. Imagine somebody who says, "I read the Quran 1,000 times a year." So 1,000 times he finished the Quran in Riwayat Hafs. And I used to pray one juz of Quran in every rakat of my first salah when I was young. In every rakat of first salah, I would recite one juz of Quran. And when I would say salam, then I would, as shukr to Allah Ta'ala, I would recite another juz of Quran. And on the way to the masjid, I would recite Surah Baqarah. And after Jamaat, on the way back, I would, this is how I would go to prayer. That from the home to the masjid, we recite Surah Baqarah. And from the masjid back to the house, Surah Al Imran. And then in the masjid, in every farz rakat, reciting one juz. And then after saying salam, again reciting one juz. And he said that my whole life I used to pray Salatul Tasbih every day. I never missed it. And in the month of Rajab and Shaban, I used to fast every other day. And I used to take some barley bread and some oil, and this is all I would eat, and once in 40 days I would eat meat. He said that if I would break my wudu even 100 times in a day, I would make my wudu 100 times a day. Just, these were the seekers of Allah Ta'ala. They made a lot of mujahidah. He says that I used to do all my own personal housework myself. I washed my own clothes. I did my own farming. I did my own herding of animals. I ground my own wheat and made my own bread. So he's doing so much ibadah and also so much household work. Allah Ta'ala gave him such a nisbat. The Khwaja Mirza Chishti Jameer Abdali went to go meet him. And it's written in the books that so many people turned to him that in his khanka it was named as the Kaaba of Khorasan, that the place in Khorasan where so many people turned to. So those people have such intense mujahidah, then they have very intense mushahada at the end. As I say, Nur Muhammad Bahadur Abdali said, that that for 15 years I had istighraq in my zikr. It's only for salah I would come out of zikr to pray salah, and then I would go right back into my zikr. Such that my back became bent and my neck had cricks in it. All the time I was sitting in Muraqabah. He spent 15 years of his life like that. Maybe can we even spend 15 days of our life like this? So Ibn Adala said that that person who begins with Ruju' ila Allah, they will end by attaining their objective. So there are some signs of whether a person has a good beginning or not. So there are 6 signs to check in the beginning. First, their intention. That the intention is purely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that they want kashf or karamat, or they have some worldly reason, or they want that they too should become a person that du'as are accepted. No. Their primary sole objective is to get the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. Second, is that they're no longer attracted to the pleasures of the world. They no longer have that attraction and temptation. Third is that they have himma, their steadfast resolve, and make a lot of effort in zikr. And they spend hours doing zikr in Muraqabah. Fourth is that they pray tahajjud salah regularly. Fifth, that they follow the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah in everything. And sixth, that they spend time with the salihin, company with the sulaha. So these are 6 signs that a person has a good ibtida, a good beginning. That person who has a good beginning will have a good end. May Allah Ta'ala, out of His mercy, enable us to work hard and make effort. And may He accept that effort from us. Wa akhira ta'ala. O our kind and beloved Rabb, we are your weak and needy servants and slaves. Forgive us for our sins, overlook our shortcomings, conceal our faults. Yadim Bikareem, we are your seekers. Yadim Bikareem, we were not able to cure our nafs. Ya Allah, Shaitan kept trapping us and tricking us. Ya Allah, purify our nafs, make it into a nafs mutmainna. Ya Allah, a child wants to go towards his father. He's not able to walk. He drags himself and the father picks himself up. Ya Allah, we are like that child that we want to come towards you, but we don't know how to walk. Ya Allah, we ask that you grab us from the tips of our hair and drag us towards you, bring us towards you, and give us your pleasure. Ya Allah, make him grant us your qurb. Ya Allah, we ask that you send your mercy on us. You cast an affectionate gaze towards us, cast a loving glance towards us. Ya Allah, your Prophet Sayyidina Rasulullah said, last tadir itkum min an-nar, her freedom from the fire of Jahannam. Ya Allah, on this night also, so many will be freed from Jahannam. Ya Allah, we ask that you include our names amongst those ranks. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have no hope in our own deeds. We have hope only and only in your mercy. Ya Allah, out of your mercy, everything will be done. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make this month of Ramadan a means of forgiveness for us. Ya Allah, whatever work of deen is being done, whatever way, from whoever, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you had granted your acceptance in Qubuliyah. Ya Allah, call us and invite us over and over again to Makkah Mukarramah, to see Kaaba, and to visit Sayyidina Rasulullah's road in Medina Munawwarah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, all of those who have come from far away, Ya Allah, accept their coming. Ya Allah, they came from different situations, different circumstances, different difficulties. They extracted themselves from all of that, seeking your love and seeking your pleasure. Rabbi Kareem, they've come with great hopes in you, great hopes from you, and they're sitting in your masjid. Ya Allah, send your mercy, Ya Allah. Send your mercy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, send your mercy. Oh, my Master, send your mercy. Oh Allah, accept our du'as out of your mercy. Make our hearts adorned with light. Our lives full of light. Let every amal be according to sunnah. And we ask that you accept our du'as. Whatever we asked for, granted Allah. Whatever we didn't ask for, we should have granted as well, Allah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala peace. Yeah, what a good.